I'd like to begin today a new series of shiurim on Hukas Kashrus. The Torah prohibits many different food items. Pesukim in Parashas Shmini describe how animals and fish are only kosher if they have certain simanim, but if they don't have those simanim, if they're missing even one of the simanim, then they're forbidden to eat. Sometimes an item is non-kosher not because it comes from a species of animal or fish that's not kosher, but rather because something happened to it. Take, for example, nevela. Person has a kosher animal, but he didn't shechta properly. He pressed down too much on the makom hashchita, or he delayed a little bit. It wasn't a smooth job. He stopped in the middle of the ma'isa shechita, or he shechted out of the makom hashchita. So if the shechita is psula, then the animal is a nevela, and it's also bachila. The animal itself came from a species that's kosher, but it's non-kosher simply because of what happened to it. Similarly, let's say an animal is mortally injured by some other animal. A fox jumped into the flock, or a lion. Right? If the animal is mortally injured, it becomes a trefa. And then even if the shechita is kshera, it might not be nevela, but it will be trefa, and it's also bachila also. So there are different items which are also bachila. There's different items that are non-kosher. One of the most fundamental principles of kashrus is that when the Torah prohibits different items b'achila, the Isser Achila applies not only to that item, but even if the item imparts a taste into kosher food, the kosher food becomes also b'achila as well. This is what the Gemara in Chulin and Pesachim and in other places calls tam ki'ikr. Tam ki'ikr. That the taste of Isser is like the ikr itself. The taste of the Isser is like the Isser itself. And that applies even if you have a mixture where rov is hetter. Let's say a person is cooking meat and potatoes, cooking a cholent, and then he gets a call from the butcher shop, and the butcher says, Gival, the meat that you bought was really nevela. It wasn't shechted properly. We mispackaged it. We mislabeled it. It really was supposed to be nevela. So what does the person do? So clearly he has to throw out the meat in the cholent. But the question is the rest of the cholent kosher? The answer is no. Even the potatoes are going to be non-kosher. Even if you could somehow remove all of the meat. Let's say the meat is it's a big block of meat that's sitting there with the potatoes. You can take the whole meat out and throw it in the garbage. But because the meat was no saint tam, that it put a taste into the kosher food, even the non-kosher food is forbidden to eat as well. That's tam ki'ikr. Is this a principle min haTorah? Is this only derabbanan? That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi in Chulin seems to say that tam ki'ikr is only a din derabbanan. It's a chumra min haTorah. It doesn't aser. It's only min derabbanan. But the Tosfos says that no, it's a din daraisa. We paskin like the Balei Tosfos that it's min haTorah, the tam ki'ikr. So even if you have a suffix, let's say you have a suffix whether it was no same tam into the heter, it's going to haser the heter. The kosher food is going to become aser. Now, this principle of tam ki'ikr applies not only to machalas asuros in general, to non-kosher foods, but even to basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav is composed of two things that are mutter by themselves. Meat is permissible to eat, and the milk is permissible to eat. But when they come in combination together, they are aser. That's what basar b'chalav means. What kind of a combination creates that Isser Basar B'Chalav? Min haTorah, we say the Isser Basar B'Chalav only applies if the Chalav is no sin tam into the Basar, or the Basar is no sin tam into the Chalav. You need this kind of imparting of taste from one to the other in order to create the Isser Daraisa Basar B'Chalav. This din of Tam Ki'ikr is the reason why we have two sets of kelim. We have two sets of dishes, meat and dairy, two sets of silverware, meat and dairy. Because even if the silverware or the dishes or the pots are perfectly clean, the concern is that if you use them for one or the other, for meat or for dairy, then there's a bliya, there's an absorption of taste into the walls of the pot, the walls of the kli or the silverware. There's an absorption. And then when that tam is going to come out, when you use the pot again, to cook the other item. Let's say you cook the milk in the pot. So now you have a bliya of chalav, a tam of chalav in the pot. And then when you use the pot again to cook fleishigs, to cook meat, So the time of chalav is going to come out into the meat. It's going to make basa b'chalav. It's going to asim. So that's why we need two different sets of kelim, so that we won't have the problem of tam keiker in our cookings. This is why balei tshuva, people who become balei tshuva, have to kasher their kelim. Most people who come from a kosher home were careful to have separate pots for milchigs and fleishigs. But balei tshuva on that, right? There could be nevela, there could be non-kosher fish, shrimp, and other things, maybe. Right, different items that maybe they were makil to eat before, they didn't realize that they're aser. Now the people are becoming balei tshuva, so then they have to kasher the kelim because we're afraid that there's still a time of iser in the kelim, and the time of iser is going to prohibit the kosher food that they're going to cook. They're going to only buy kosher food, but that doesn't matter. If you have a time of iser, if you have an absorption of iser in the walls of the pot, then that'll come out and that'll aser even the kosher food. That's what Tam Keika teaches us. Questions? How much non-kosher tam do you need in order to aser? Or maybe I should say, how much kosher food do you need in order to be matan? What's the shear for tam keikah? So some of you might know, the Gemara in Chulin Adav Tzadi Zayin says that in order to be matir, the iser, to prevent the tam of iser from asering the kosher food, we need shishim. We need 60 times of heter keneged the iser. Shishim. The rule of tam keikah applies if there's less than shishim. Less than 60 times of heter keneged the iser, so then there'll be a nesinas tam. Then there'll be a tam nirgash, as we would say. You'll be able to taste that tam of iser, and that's an ahasa the heter. But if you have shishim, in most circumstances, shishim is enough to be makir this tam ho iser. Why? Because it's not going to be nosin tam. It's not going to give a tam to the heter that's going to be noticeable. It doesn't matter that the iser is in the heter. As long as you can't notice the tam of the iser in the heter, then it's not going to answer the heter. That's shishim. The shishim is quite a chum, if you think about it. The fact that you need shishim in order to be mata, this tarovis of iser the heter, it's a big chumr, because normally whenever we want to be mata or tarovis, we don't require shishim 60 times. That's quite a lot. Normally, what's the operative principle? What do we need in order to be matir issa? Rov, majority, is normally enough. Acharavim Lahatos tells me that we're allowed to follow majority. The Gemara in Chulin Adav Tzadi Hei says, let's say you have 10 different stores in a town. They all sell meat. And 9 are kosher stores, and 1 is a non-kosher store. And you normally go into the kosher store, but sometimes you go into the non-kosher store because you want to buy some non-kosher meat for your dog, for your cat. Right. And somehow the markings are not so clear. Not such a good situation. Right? Clearly the markings should delineate. They should clearly indicate what is kosher, what is not non-kosher. They should be in different sizes, or they should have different seals. But let's say they didn't have that. Let's say they weren't so careful. But you have the Teisha Chanuyos that are selling kosher food, kosher meat, and then there's one that's selling Bisar Nevela. And then you find the meat in the city. You find meat. Benimsa. So Benimsa, we follow Rov. We assume that if most of the stores in the city are selling kosher meat, so then the meat must be kosher. So let's say a person, let's say that case that I gave you before. Say a person buys some kosher meat, and he also bought a piece of nevela for his cat, and then they get mixed up, and there's no way to tell which is kosher, which is not kosher. So if you have, let's say, 3 pieces of meat, 2 are kosher and 1 is non-kosher, then it's mutter to eat. It's mutter to eat a piece of meat, because it's batel berov. That's a tarovus of suffolk. We don't know which piece of meat is mutter, which piece is aser, right? And the suffolk was nolad, not in the store, but rather in my home. So one would be allowed to eat a piece of meat. One would be allowed to. It's a question if you can eat all of them. Right? That's a shailah post machlokes rishonim. Can you eat all of them? But you certainly can eat the first one, because you still have a rove of heter. Some have a machlokes whether you can eat the second one, because then you don't have a rove of heter. Then there could be only 1 piece of meat that's heter, 1 of iser. And some are makel so much so that they say that the iser is nefach lios heter. That's the phrase they have, that if you have a tarovis of 3 pieces of meat, the iser becomes mutter, and you're allowed to eat the whole thing. Hell, right? It's a tremendous chiddush. Pashup shad is you can eat the first piece, and the rest of it you should give to the cat. But that's a machlokes rishonim. All this is talking about where the iser is be'en. The iser is recognizable to the eye. The iser is be'en, and it's recognizable, so then rov is enough. Because your tarovis is really a tarovis of safek. You just don't know which is kosher, which is non-kosher. So the principle to follow in such a case is rov. As long as you have a majority of heder, then it's okay. But the case of tam is where the tarovis is not one of safek, but rather the tarovis is one of blila. There's a mixing. There's a mixing of the liquids, a mixing of the taste between the two food items. So there, it's not just the suffix. There, the taka is no suffix. You know what's usser. You know that you had a non-kosher piece of meat there. But the problem is, the non-kosher piece of meat was no sintam into the kosher. Right? The non-kosher piece of meat gave some kind of... It transferred some of its liquid, some of its essence into the kosher food. So the question is, was it nosin tam or was it not nosin tam? So that's where we need shishim. If you have 60 times in the heter, in the kosher food, connected to iser, then we assume that the iser is not going to be nosin tam and the kosher food remains mutter. But if you have less than 60 times, so then the tam is nirgash, then it will be nosin tam. And if it's nosin tam, the din of tam kiker tells me that the non-kosher food is going to be aser bach. Questions? We mentioned before that this is why you need two different types of pots. Now let's explain that better. Why do you need two different pots? Let's say you cooked a small piece of meat in a pot. So who says, do you know how much tam of iser is in the walls of the pot? We don't. So why do you need two separate pots? Let's say you cook meat in the pot, and then you want to cook milk. So maybe you should be able to cook the milk. Maybe you only have a little bit of meat there. The answer is Chazal Achoshish, that we don't know how much meat was nivla into the walls of the pot. Whenever you cook something in a pot, we assume that the walls of the pot are full of the item that you cooked. The Chumra, we assume that since we don't know how much meat went into the walls of the pot, we have to assume that the meat is completely in the walls of the pot. And that's why you can't cook milk in the same pot before kashering it. Why? Because Chazal have a Kabbalah that in most kalim, even if you fill up the entire kli, you will not have shishim in the food in the pot to be mevatel what's inside the walls of the pot. That's the mathematical understanding that Chazal had. That's the Kabbalah they had. There are certain circumstances. If your pot is somehow very wide and the walls are very thin, maybe this is not going to apply. But in our typical pots, Chazal have a Kabbalah that even if you fill it up to the tippy top, right, fill it up with water, macaroni, potatoes, whatever, up to the tippy top, soup, up to the tippy top, it's not going to be shishim. What you have in the food, in the be'en, that you're cooking in the pot, is not going to be shishim, keneged what's nivla into the walls. And therefore, if you have meat in the walls, and you're going to cook milk, you'll have basa b'chalav. So that's why you need two sets of pots. Okay, because of this chumra that we assume, whatever you cooked in the pot is going to be nivla completely into the walls, and then what you cook the second time in the pot is not going to be shishim, it's never going to be shishim keneged the bliya in the walls of the pot. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch also point out that when we say that if you have shishim in the heter keneged the iser, that's mevatel, that's bittel, right? That's also a very important word, right? Bittel, to nullify the iser. Right? We can nullify the iser if you have shishim. So when do we say bittul? When do we say bittul b'shishim? If you have shishim in the heter, connected to the iser, then we can nullify the iser and the heter is not going to become aser. It stays kosher. Let's say you don't have shishim, but you got some tam of iser in there. Let's say you were cooking fish and then you notice there's a non-kosher fish that got stuck on. There's some shrimp that got stuck onto your tuna fish. I don't know. Whatever. You're cooking salmon and you notice that there was some shrimp, some catfish, some non-kosher fish that somehow got stuck on. So you don't want to aser all the fish and whatever soup, whatever you're cooking there, you don't want to aser it. So you feel like, okay, even if I don't have shishim in the heter, you can estimate that the non-kosher fish is too much, I don't have shishim, but let me add on a little bit more of heter, then I will have shishim, and then it'll be great, and it won't aser. Can you do that? The answer is no. You're not allowed to do that. First of all, in many circumstances, it's not even going to work. Because there's a principle that's called chaticha nases nevela, that if you have non-kosher food and you cook it with kosher food, if we assume that the kosher food becomes like the non-kosher food, it's non-kosher. So if you cook shrimp together with kosher food, you cook nevela together with kosher food, then all the kosher food becomes nevela, it becomes shrimp, it becomes asa. So now, how much do you need in order to be mevatel? Shishim keneged the original isha? Issa? No. If we say chaticha nasa is nevela, it's not just that the heter becomes us. It becomes like a shtick nevela. So now I need shishim keneged the whole thing. Right, so you think that you're going to just add a little bit. Right? Let's say you had 30 times the amount. Now you're going to add another 30 times, and that'll be shishim. That might not be enough. You might have to add 60 times the 30, which is quite a lot, which you will never be able to do in a pot, for sure, even if you're cooking just a little bit. Never going to happen. Right? So that's one issue, that first of all, you might not even be able to accomplish anything by adding more hetter, because chatir hanasas nevela might prevent you from being mevatel, even if you'll add a little bit more for shishim, that might not be enough, because once the isser asses the heter, then you might need shishim can get the whole heter. But even lu yitzuyu, you could add enough heter that you'll be able to mevatel the isser. The rule is you're not allowed to do that. Ein mevatel isser lechatchila. We're not supposed to be mevatel isser. That's a din b'dieved, that if you have shishim already, then the isser doesn't prohibit the heter. If you don't have shishim lechatchila, you're not allowed to be mosif. You're not allowed to be Moshe Hetter to be Mevatel that Issa. That's the machlokis. Is that a din baraisa? Is it a chumrah? Is it a chumrah derabanan? You could readily understand it's a chumrah. The Chazal feel, don't be Mevatel lechatchila, because we're afraid you might not be Mevatel properly. You might not know how much you have to add, and you won't accomplish anything. It could be a din baraisa, though. That's the rule. And you're not allowed to be Mevatel Issa lechatchila. That's the halacha, that's the din daraisa. They have some makoros, they want to learn from different psukim. Whether it's the daraisa, whether it's the rabbonon, it's a rule that you can't add more heter in order to be mevatel the issa. Yes?
What if it's a suffix?
No, so if I'm mevatel the issa, lechatchila is the din daraisa, then even misafik you're not allowed to add. If it's only the rabbonon, so maybe misafik you would be allowed to add, because you could be mekel and spekos the rabbonon. Yeah, there are different discussions that the rishonim have, that the achronim have. But just as a general principle, the chachil, you're not allowed to be mevatel the issa. Yes.
By chatichas nasas nevela, how can you ever have enough? Won't, each time you add something, won't it just make it like nevela?
No, if you add it to vasachas, if you throw it in at one time, so then you'll have the shishim keneged the whole issa. Okay.
You would need
keneged
the whole issa.
You would need keneged the issa, and if we say chatichas nasas nevela, then you keneged the issa and keneged the heter that was already asked. Okay, so if you threw in the heter at one time, the extra heter at one time, you really could be mevatelit, but you're not allowed to do that anyway.
Right. But if you were, but if you threw it in bit by bit, then each time it would be.
Right, each time it would become us, so you wouldn't accomplish anything, right, exactly. The Shulchan Aruch Yeredei and Siman Kufei points out something else. That the only time that one item can be nivla into another item where you can have an esinas tam, it's only if you have a mechanism that will allow that transfer of taste. It's not like if you just put meat together with milk, you sit them in the same pot, so then there's going to be a transfer. That doesn't happen. If they're both cold, that doesn't happen. There has to be a mechanism in order for the taste to be transferred from one to the other. The most common mechanism for the transfer of a blia from one item to the other is, of course, heat. Right? Heat. Bishul, sli, cooking, roasting. This is the way that we transfer time from one item to the other. But there are other mechanisms as well. There's what they call kavush. Pickling can do it. Salting, melicha can do it. But the classical mechanisms for transferring taste are not melicha and kavush. Salting or pickling. Some kind of a salty brine, a vinegar, right? But the classical methods are bishul or tzli. Cooking, heat. Heat is the simplest mechanism, probably the strongest mechanism for transferring time. In fact, they compare melicha and kavush to bishul. They say how much like bishul is it? Bishul is the strongest. Right? In many cases, if there is bishul, then it'll be mavliya, you'll cause an absorption, bekulo, in the entire substance. Sli might be a little bit less than that, but bishul means that there's a liquid medium. Sli means I'm putting something over the fire, but there's no liquid medium per se. Okay? Like if a person has person has a hamburger and they put cheese on top of the hamburger, there's no liquid medium there, but that's tzli. It's on a fire, and then it's melted into the hamburger. That's a cheeseburger. That's also bachila. Okay, what is bishul? How do we define bishul? So we had bishul and Hilchos Shabbos. There are similarities between Issur HaHeter and Hilchos Shabbos. How do we have bishul? So the most fundamental way of creating bishul is through a kli rishon. Klirisha. What does a klirisha mean? It means that you have something, you have a pot that's on the fire directly. That was on the fire directly at some point in time. In fact, even if it's not on the fire right now, the poskim say that it keeps the status of a klirisha as long as it's yad soledes bo, as long as the liquid is hot enough that if someone who didn't realize that it was hot puts his hand in, it'll recoil. Right? Yad soledes bo, the minimum shear of yad soledes bo, I think the poskim say is 110 degrees. It's a machlok, it's exactly what it is. 110 is 160. So in Hilchos Shabbos, you've got to be machmir for both sides. So here, in Issur HaHeter, even if the pot is only 110 degrees Fahrenheit, you have to be machmir that it has a din of a kli rishon. Again, if at one point it was on the fire, now you took it off the fire, well, let's say it's still on the fire, but it's not boiling yet, right? But if it's 110 degrees, if it's yad soledes bo, it has a din of a kli rishon. So let's say, for instance, you're cooking a pot of meat, and by accident, after it's yad soledes bo, you stick a dairy spoon into the pot in order to mix it, and there's no shishim in the meat keneged the spoon that you put in. You know, if it's a small pot of like gravy that you're preparing, so sometimes there could be shishim in the pot. Let's say it's a small pot. It's not one of these big pots. A small pot where you're preparing some kind of a meat gravy, and you stick a spoon in, you might have shishim there. But let's say you stick it into a big pot, and there's no shishim in the basa keneged the dairy spoon, so then everything is asa. The spoon is asa, the pot can become asa, and the food is asa. If you don't have shishim, then the food becomes asa. The food now is nivla, it's absorbed into the pot, so the pot now is asa, it's got basa b'chalav in it. And the meat that you had in the pot that you're cooking is going to be nivla into the spoon, and it's going to ask the spoon. So the spoon and the pot will need heksher, and the food has to be thrown out. Okay, that's the basic case. Yes?
In the bigger pot, there wouldn't be shishim.
In the what?
In the bigger pot, there wouldn't be shishim. That's a big pot, then you don't for sure have shishim.
So sometimes there will be shishim, sometimes not. I'm just trying to give you different cases. In the smaller pot, sometimes you won't have shishim. In the bigger pot, sometimes you will have shishim. Depends how much you're cooking in the pot, right? You have a big pot, but it's not filled to the top, so you might not have shishim, depending on what you're putting in, depending on the size of the spoon. You have to be able to figure out whether you have shishim or not. There's a whole discussion, how much of the spoon do we estimate? Is it the whole spoon, only the part that you put in? Pashup shot is, it's only the part that you put in. Okay? That you need shishim, connect the part that you put in. If you don't have shishim, then everything is going to become us. That's a kli rishon. Then the post can discuss, can there be a bliya in a kli sheni? Let's say you take the food that was being cooked in a kli rishon and you put it into another kli. You pour it out and you put it into a second kli. Kli sheni. So we know that the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Mem Amud Beis says that kli sheni eino mevasha. Even if it's yad so lettuce bo, even if it's yad so lettuce bo, kli sheni is not mevasha. You put something into a kli sheni, unless it's kale habishul, unless it gets cooked very easily, there's no bishul daraisa on Shabbos. Of course, we're machmir a lot on Shabbos because we don't know what gets cooked easily, so we try not to put things into a klisheni. But fundamentally, there's no bishul in a klisheni. What's the din when it comes to iser v'heter? Is there blia and pleita? Is there a transfer of taste in a klisheni? Maybe the status of bishul daraisa, melacha of Shabbos. Maybe there's no bishul b'klisheni, but maybe there could be a transfer b'klisheni. That's the machlokas rishon in the Shulchan Aruch here today, and Simen Kufei Sim Beis quotes two days about this. Can there be, is a klisheni maflit u'mavliya, at least k'dei klipa, they say. K'dei klipa means a peel's worth. The peel's worth means a little bit. It's not going to be b'kulo. The klisheni, it's not going to be b'kulo. But the question is it maflit u'mavliya a little bit? This is a machlokas. Can it be maflit or mavliya? Maflit means it'll expel a taste. Mavliya means it'll cause an absorption of a taste. Right? Bliya and plaita. So there's a machlokas, but it's maflit umavliya kadei klipa. So says the Shulchan Aruch lechatchila, one should be careful about this, since there is a shita, the Rashba is of the opinion that maybe there could be bliya plaita and a klisheini. So lechatchila, one should be careful, even be klisheini, not to mix meat and milk in a klisheini. But b'di'evad, the Shulchan Aruch says, since there is a day that holds that there's no bliya plaita and a klisheini, just like it's Einam Avashel, there's not maflit umavliya either. But the abbot, he says, if you made a mistake, it's not going to ask. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. But not everyone agrees. Taz and the Shach quote others who are machmir, who said that if it's not a hefsid, then you should be machmir, even b'di'evad, not just l'chatkila, but even b'di'evad. Let's say a person prepared a cup of coffee in a meat mug, right, a fleishiger mug. He made a mistake. He wanted to use a milchiger mug. His milchiger and fleishiger mugs look the same. You should get different mugs that look completely different. He won't make the mistake. Let's say he made the mistake and he put the coffee in the fleishiger mug. Now, the coffee is not milchiger, so that's not the problem. The problem is then you're going to add milk to the coffee. So the adding of the milk is done in a klisheni. The pouring of the water over the coffee, so that's... we're going to get to that later. That's not klisheni yet. That's somewhere between klirishin and klisheni. But putting the milk into the cup, that's the klisheni. So what's the din? Does that create basa b'chalav or not? So at first glance, it's only a b'di'evad. So the Shulchan Aruch would say, it's mutter. It's mutter. But the Taz and the Shach would say that shalom makam hefse, you should be machmir. So l'chora, according to the Taz and the Shach, you should throw out the coffee. Make another cup of coffee. Don't drink that cup of coffee. But what's the din of the mug? The aftakasha, the mug? Now that's a big problem, because the mug is klicheres, the mug is earthenware, and we assume that earthenware can't be kasher. So what are you going to do? So someone has suggested, well, that's a hefsid, right? It's b'makom hefsid. It's a hefsid meruba, but it is b'makom hefsid. You have to throw out the coffee mug now that has a bli of basar and cholam inside of it, so maybe you could be maker for the Shulchan Aruch in that case. Others want to suggest that if the coffee is very hot, if it's not just yad salevis bo, but rather it's even higher than that, what's that shear called? If it's yad nichves bo, if it's so hot that you'll burn your hand, the chayyadam is machmer, that yad nichves bo, even in a klisheni, does have a din of a klirishon. That's going to be mevashel on Shabbos, he says, and for other halachas. So maybe if the water is very, very hot, so then even b'di'evad we should be machmer. It's a question. But the reason why the question begins is because there's a discussion whether in Issa v'Heder there can be a bliya plaita and a klisheni. So I'm just showing you that this idea, you know, we assume in a klisheni nothing happens. It's not so clear that in a klisheni nothing happens. Right? There could be something that's happening. So then you have to weigh all the different issues. How hot was the water? Is it makom hefsid? Is it b'di'evad? Etc. And as we move on, we'll see that there are other factors to take into account as well. But this is the basic shaila. So there are some who would be making, who would say that this is a hefsid, since the earthenware cup can't be kashered, and it's only in a klisheni, perhaps there's room to be making that you don't have to throw out the cup. I guess it depends whether it was the special birthday cup that they bought for you. And, you don't want to throw out that cup. You know, if it's not a cup and you don't really care about it, so maybe there's more of a reason to throw it out. But perhaps there's room to say that it's b'makom hefsid, so you don't have to throw out the cup, even if it's not your special birthday cup. Okay, yes, question.
Is it also defined by zman, in the sense that you don't have enough time to prepare another dish, or whatever reason?
You only have one cup, and you need a cup of coffee. So is that called a hefsid?
Or if you're about to run out the door to work, and you don't have time to make another cup.
Right. That's generally not how we would define hefsid. Hefsid means that there's some kind of a loss. Now, there's no loss. If you have to fast, that's not a loss. We wouldn't call that a loss. It's uncomfortable, but I don't know if we would call that a hefsid. Because there are other places you can get coffee besides your kitchen, right? I don't want to mention any stores over here, but we know. There are places where you can buy coffee. So even if you can't make coffee at home, you can still buy it as you're running to work. Okay, the poskim discuss another case. What's the din of a ladle, a klishoev, right? Remember that? We had this in Hilchos Shabbos last year. The Taz in Yerideh at the end of Siman Sadi Beis has the machlokas with the Maril. What's the din of a ladle? Is a ladle called a klisheni? Or because you're putting the ladle into the klirishon, maybe it should have a din of a klirishon? What's a nafkamina? No one's eating from the ladle. No one's putting something in the ladle. Yeah, but you're going to pour from the ladle into a bowl. So now what's the status of the bowl? Is the bowl called a klisheni or is it called a klishlishi? So many are willing to be maker when it comes to bowls, since klisheni itself is only a shayla. And klishoe, the ladle, is also a shayla. What is the status of a ladle, of a klishoe? So once the soup gets into the bowl, we can assume that definitely that soup has a din of a klishlishi, because even if it had a din of a klisheni, you know, it's only lechatchila that you have to be machmer there. So there's much more room to be mekil once it gets into the bowl that has a din of a klishlishi, and then there will be no transfer of taste. Another case that we've discussed in the past in klisheni is called davar gush. Let's say you have solid food, like a solid piece of meat. This case comes up a lot. Davar gush, solid food. Let's say you take a hot piece of meat from a klisheni, from a kli rishon, right? You had meat in the roaster, and you take the piece of meat out. You put it into a klisheni, right? put it on the plate. Then you want to cut the meat before you serve it. Gewalt, and you started cutting it with a milchige knife. You had a sharp milchige knife, and you took the wrong knife. It wasn't the fleishige knife; it was a milchige knife. What's the din? So you would say, well, but it's b'di'evet. It's only b'di'evet. It's in a klisheni. It shouldn't aser, right? If it's a hepsid, certainly it's not going to aser the meat. That would be a big hepsid if it were to aser the meat. $20, $25, let's say. It's a big piece of meat. Even if it's less than that, $10, it's still a hepsid, right? So maybe you would say that it shouldn't aser the meat. To asa the kli, well, if you can kasha the knife, then it's not so much of a shayla. But let's say you can't. Let's say, I don't know. Does it asa the meat? So the question is, does it really have a din of a klisheni or not? That's the machlokas. There's a famous marshal. The marshal assumes that davar gush, a solid hot item taken out of a kli rishon and put into a klisheni, doesn't have a din of a klisheni at all. Why? Because the reason why klisheni ain't mevashel, that's because we assume that the walls of the klisheni are going to cool down the item. Because the item that's put into the klisheni forms itself to the klisheni. You put soup into a klisheni, so now the soup takes the form of the kli, takes the form of the bowl. But if you put a hot piece of meat into a klisheni, put a hot piece of meat onto a plate, it doesn't take the form of the plate. Yeah, the bottom is touching the plate, but not the whole thing is not touching the plate. It doesn't, the kli doesn't wrap itself around the item. Because it doesn't wrap itself around the item, the kli is not going to cool down the item enough. So the din of klisheni, according to the marshal, is not going to apply. It'll be like you never took it out of the kli rishon. The marshal holds that davar gush in the klisheni is dino ke kli rishon. The Rama disagrees. Now, we do have one shita that says that you can be mekel. The Rama says he thinks it does have a din of a klisheni. Okay, because the fact that it's not in a kli rishon, that automatically gives it a din of a klisheni. So it's a machlokas. So this is another factor that the poskim are going to take into account. If you ask the mishayla, they will ask, well, exactly what were you doing? What were you cutting? You were cutting, putting, you know, you said you used the milchaka utensil on something fleshy. What kind of utensil? Was it a knife? Was it a, you know, was it a fork? Was it a spoon? You know, what exactly did you do? Right? Was it meat? Was it chicken soup? You know, they'll ask, even if it's in a klisheni, they'll ask what you were using, because it's important to know, because davar gush might be more chamer than davar lach. Salads might be more chamer than liquids. And finally, the final type of bishul that's brought in the poskim is iri kli rishon. Not klisheni, not kli rishon, but iri kli rishon. Let's say you're pouring. You're in the process of pouring out of the kli rishon. What's the status of the pouring, that liquid that's coming out, the stream. So we know that's a Tosfos and Shabbos that we had together. Tosfos and Shabbos, Amen Beis and Beis, has three opinions when it comes to Shabbos. Do we say that iri kli rishon is dino ke klisheni? It's eino mevashel, it's mutar on Shabbos. Do we say it's dino ke kli rishon and it's aser? Or do we say it's somewhere in the middle? It's mevashel kedei klipa. Again, like a peel's worth. A little bit. It's not the kulo, but it's a little bit. Right, that's the final questionable circumstance, right? Klishoev, davar gush, and iri kli rishon. What's the status of these things? Is it dino ke kli rishon or dino ke klisheni? You'll see each one of these scenarios is going to become quite relevant in our future discussions. Okay? La halacha were machmer in Iri Kli Rishon to assume that it is mavliya kedei klipa, like that middle sheep. It is mavliya to mavliya a little bit. So that's quite lamaisa. Let's say a person is pouring fleishiga gravy, pouring chicken soup or meat gravy into a bowl. He made a mistake and he pours it into a dairy bowl. So does that asa? It's not in a kli rishon. It's only iri kli rishon. So will that asa the bowl? If you put it already, if you took a ladle and then you put the soup into the bowl through the ladle, I think there's room to be maker. Right? Because the cliché might be defined as a cliché. So the soup in the bowl is eerie cliché, which we're not going to be machmer for, probably b'di'evet. So in that case, there's much more room to be made. So let's say you're pouring directly from the klivishon into the cliché. That's a big problem. You're pouring something fleshig into the milchig bowl. That's eerie klivishon. So if we're machmer to assume that eerie klivishon is mavliya k'de klipa, then you're going to have to kasha. You're going to have to kasha that bowl. This issue of Iri Kli Rishon comes up in another very important circumstance, and that is washing meat and dairy dishes together in the same sink. Think about it. What are you doing? You have, let's say you have be'en, let's say you have actual meat and dairy. You have like a piece of meat there, little pieces of meat, maybe some cheese or something, a cereal bowl, a dirty cereal bowl with milk in it. You can have scenarios where there's actual meat and dairy on the dishes. And you put them in the same sink, let's say. You probably shouldn't be putting them in the same sink at the same time. But let's say you put the meat and the dairy dishes in the sink at the same time. Now you turn on the water to boiling water. You're going to put on gloves because you want to really clean it well. If you are going to clean the dishes without gloves, and generally you don't like hot water, so the stum of the water is not yet so let us know. It's not going to be that hot. That is a big sirif to be made. But if you're going to put on gloves and you can make the water very, very hot, so then what do you have over here? Think about it. You l'chora have iri kli rishon, because the water in the boiler is on the fire, that's kli rishon, and now we're pouring out of the boiler. Right? It's coming through the pipes and it's pouring out of the boiler. So l'chora, this is iri kli rishon. So what's the din? We're going to have to talk about it. It's a very important shaila. Right? B'di'evet, l'chatchila, a person should not wash their milk and flesh and dishes together. Let's say you did. Let's say you made a mistake. Let's say you washed dairy dishes, but you had one meat dish there. That's what often happens. It's not that you have all of the dishes together, but you made a mistake. There was one knife that you didn't realize. It got transferred from one sink to the next, or you put it in the basin, and then somehow it got moved. What's the din? Right, you have iri kli rishon, so is that going to asa? You have milk, and you have meat residue on the kelim, so is that going to asa the kelim? L'chora, this is a shayla of iri kli rishon. There is one sheet of Dayan Weiss in his tshuvas. Actually, it's very machmir here. We'll get to it later. He holds this is not iri kli rishon. This is kli rishon mamish. Why? Why do you think? He says he thinks it's kli rishon mamish. You know why? Because the boiler is still on the fire now as we speak. The normal case of iri kli rishon is where you picked up the pot from the fire and poured out. I picked up the pot from the fire and poured out. But if you didn't pick it up from the fire, it's still on the fire, and somehow you're taking out of the pot. See, normally you can't really pour out of the pot while it's still on the fire. Right? But sometimes you can. Like if you have a hot water urn and you press down, the hot water urn is connected to the fire, to the heat source. Dayan Weiss would probably say that's kli rishon mamish also. Most posts can disagree. Most posts can assume it's only iri kli rishon. But Dayan Weiss wants to say, just like the urn would be kli rishon mamish, the boiler is also kli rishon mamish. You turn on your faucet, hot water, that's kli rishon mamish, because the kli rishon is still on the fire. You haven't picked it up off the fire before you're pouring out of the kli. So maybe that wouldn't even have a din of iri kli rishon. You'd have to be much more machmir. Most posts can assume that both the urn and the case of the faucet are iri kli rishon. We'll have to discuss what the power of iri kli rishon really is. It's maflet u mavliya k'dei klipa. That far we know. It can create an absorption of taste. But the question is that enough in order to ask her in the case of washing dishes? So we'll have to discuss that in greater detail as we move along. Yes, David.
I mean, didn't we discuss it with maybe a chazanish from someone about whether the stream itself is what's causing the stream is going from the hot water source to the new cleat. Right. So that you were able to be prompted by the urn. It's going straight from the stream is connecting the heat source to the thing.
Well, the stream is always connecting the heat source. It's just the question is the heat source still on the fire? The Chazanish and Dayan Weiss are going together. It's saying something very similar.
And one thing,
We said that the Prima Gadim holds that Kli Shlishi is not Mavashel even for Kali Abishal, right? The Sama Machra, we said you can be Mekel for the Prima Gadim. There is a Chasam Sofer that holds that there can be a Bliya even in a Kli Shlishi. The Piskei Tshuva does quote it. But I think most Poskim are Mekel. Once you get to a Kli Shlishi, there's room to be Mekel. But that far, I'm not sure I would go. Even Kli Sheni is a Machlokas.
In general, is it more Mekel here?
Is it the Het as opposed to Bishal? I don't know, you have to look at the scenario. It's not so simple. You really have to look at the scenario. Because even if something is not defined as bishul on Shabbos, but there could be a transfer of taste. So there could be more room to be machmer over here than in bishul b'Shabbos. But again, you have to know, is it Rabbanan, is it Daraisa? What's the circumstance? So we'll have to talk about some of the cases. Okay. We said before that the only time that Isser is going to be no sintama to heter or basa b'cholav is going to be created is if there is an asinas tam, is if it's less than shishim, right? Meaning you don't have shishim in the heter to be mevatel the Isser. But then there's going to be no taste. That's one scenario where the Isser is not going to be no sintam. It transfers something, but that transfer is meaningless because it's not no sintama to the heter, so it's not going to ask the heter. There's another very important case that the post can discuss where Isser is not going to ask a heter. You know, there is some kind of a transfer, but it's not going to ask. And that's not a case where there is no taste, meaning it's not no sintam, because there's not enough for the taste, but rather where the taste is bad, which is called no sintam lifgam. Let's say the taste that the Isser puts in, right, if it would be a tam meshubach, if it would be a good taste, then it really would be no sintam. You would be able to be margish. You would be able to taste that issa. But let's say the tam is pogum. No sintam lefgam. If it's only no sintam lefgam, the Gemara says that that's not going to pass. Gemara Navada Zoran Dav Samach Zayin Amud Beis says that issa that's no sintam lefgam can't ask a heter. Now here there are two cases, right? First is, let's say the Isser is still the end. Let's say you're talking about a piece of meat, right? So when is the piece of meat, the piece of the veil itself, when is that mutter b'achila? It's mutter, I wouldn't eat it, but it's mutter b'achila if it's pogom legamri. It has to be nifsal me'achila sodom. It has to be no longer fit for human consumption. It's not edible at all. That's what pogom means when you're talking about the Isser be'en. Why is that mutter? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah quotes a pasuk. It says, "L'sochu kol nevela lagera sheva sharecha tidnena va'acholo." Lagera sheva sharecha tidnena. That means that you can give it to the ger, right? To the ger toshav, to the good, right? So, the only type of nevela Chazal understood from the pasuk, the only type of nevela that's going to be mutter, right? You can give the nevela to the ger, but a nevela that's ru'uya lager, that you can't eat yourself, but you have to give it to the ger tosha. Not a ger tzedek, a ger tosha. If it's ru'uya lager, if the ger will eat it, if the goy will eat it, then you give it to the goy, you're not allowed to eat yourself. But if it's a nevela she'ena ru'uya lager, it's not roy for the ger, the goy, the ger tosha, not the ger tzedek, but the non-Jew, if it's not roy for him, he's not going to eat it because it's not fit for human consumption, then even the Jew can eat it. There's no reason for the Jew to want to eat it, but the Jew will be allowed to eat it as well. It's no longer us. Once it's nosin tam levgam, once it is pogum, it's not so much nosin tam levgam, but once it is pogum legamri, right? If the Issa ben is pogum legamri, it's no longer fit for human consumption, so then it's not roy leger, and it's mutter even for a yisra. But the case of nosin tam levgam that the Gemara is mentioning is not only where the Issa is pogum batzmuso, right? The Issa itself, the end is pogum. No, let's say you're going to cook the Isser with something else. And b'tarovis, it's not going to be nosin tam l'shvach into the heter. It's only going to be nosin tam l'fgam. That also is not going to aser. Even if it's not, even if the heter is not going to be pogum legamri, even if it still is fit for human consumption, it doesn't become asered by the tam ha'isser, because the tam ha'isser is not l'shvach, it's only l'fgam. Take, for example, let's say a person has some soup. Max, you want to?
I was going to ask about the Hira case. If you, what if there's the whole thing is full of soap?
Then we get to soap. That's a good point, right? Soap could be lifgam. That could be a great example of those in time lifgam. Let's say a person has a pot of soup and he finds there's a fly in the soup. Right? The old fly in the soup. What's the din? Right? Do you have to throw out the soup? The answer is there's no need to throw out the soup. There's only one fly in the soup, there's no need to throw out the soup. Why? Because a fly is a dover mos, it's disgusting. We assume it's no sintam lifgam, it's not no sintam lishvach in the maichon. So it's not going to acid the soup. As long as you're not allowed to eat the fly, you got to throw out the fly. But once you throw out the fly is only no sintam lifgam into the soup, so the soup remains mutter. Classical case of no sintam lifgam. Now, of course, if you have a lot of flies in the soup, so then it's probably suggested that you should throw out the soup, especially if you have other things in the soup, right? Yeah, if it's chicken soup, but you also have some kind of vegetables and noodles or something. So if you have two or three flies, so then it's already huchzak that there are flies there. Even if you take out the few flies, you might have other flies in the soup. It's probably better not to eat the soup, but in most circumstances, you only have one or two flies. A fly got in there. So then, we assume it's no sometime of gam. As long as you throw out the fly, you should be able to eat the soup. The most classical case of nosen tam lufgam is what's called kedera she'ena bas yoma. Kedera she'ena bas yoma. That means a pot that hasn't been used bas yoma in the last 24 hours. If it hasn't been used in the last 24 hours, then we assume that whatever blia, whatever absorption you have in the walls of the pot, even if you use the pot, they come out into the head there, there'll be no sintam lufgam into that head there, and they're not going to ask it. Gemara Abu Lazar, the Vayin Vav, has a line, Lo osur Torah ela kedera bas yoma. Torah only prohibits a kedera bas yoma within 24 hours. You used it for meat within 24 hours, now you're going to use it for milk. But if it's a kedera shena bas yoma, if more than 24 hours have passed, it's a machlokes how much time has to pass. I'm giving you the simple pshat. More than 24 hours have passed since you last used it. We assume that the time inside the walls of the pot is only a tam pogam. If it's only a tam pogam, then even if you use the pot now for heter, it'll be no sintam lefgam in the heter, it won't ask that heter. This is an incredible kula, very important kula. So, based on this dina daraisa, what should emerge is that you really don't need two different types of pots, two different sets of pots. You can have one set of pots as long as you wait 24 hours between milk and flesh. You're home free. But the Gemara in Abu Lazar says there's a chumer d'rabbanan. Chazal will machmer to say that you shouldn't use even a kedera she'ena bas yoma because of a gezeira atu bas yoma, that we're afraid that you'll use the pot within 24 hours. So even though minat Torah me'ikar adin, you should be allowed to use the pot once 24 hours have passed. Midrabbanan, Chazal will machmer l'chadchili, you shouldn't use the pot. But because minat Torah, it doesn't aser, it's not in time of gam, as I'll say, b'di'evit, if you use the pot, it doesn't aser. Three stages here, right? Three different things. Minat Torah, after 24 hours, it's not in time of gam, it's not going to aser. Midrabbanan, Chazal say, l'chadchili, you shouldn't use it, but b'di'evit, it's not going to aser. Okay? So that's why you have to have your two sets of kelim. Me'ikar adin, as long as you wait 24 hours, you're fine. But because of the chumrah d'rabbanan of gzeira basyoma atu eina basyoma atu basyoma, lechatchila you're supposed to have two different sets of kelim, so that you won't have that chazal. We're afraid that you might not wait the 24 hours. So therefore, you're supposed to have two sets of kelim even after 24 hours. You shouldn't use the same kli both for milchigs and fleshigs. Yes.
Was this chumra only in a case where you might actually come to mix it up? But in a case where it's so far-fetched, you'll never come to mix
like
it up.
Like what?
You use the pot one time, and then a year later, you use it again or something.
A year later could be different. We'll get to a year later. Could be a year later is even better, because whatever is inside is even less than pogam. It's even, it's just disintegrates. We'll get to it in a few moments. Yes, Avram.
What if in a bit situation that you need to cook something, and you have only one pot and it's for Shabbos?
Good, so b'di'evit situation, yeah, we'll have to see. The question is, how do you define b'di'evit? Maybe b'di'evit is only where I have already cooked something in the pot. The chatchil, you know, if I'm cooking for Shabbos, so I can always go and borrow a pot from someone else. You're saying, there's no one to borrow a pot from, I only have this pot, this is the only thing, is my only... Okay, that might be called a b'di'evan. Maybe taka. It will be called a b'di'evan. Yes.
If there is an bas yama, is that assuming that the pot is clean?
Yes, of course. Of course. The pot is not clean. If there's meat on the pot, the meat, if it's not pogum, is going to asa whatever milk you add to it. So we're talking about only the blia is pogum. Only the tam and the walls of the pot become pogum after 24 hours. The end doesn't become pogum after 24 hours. It might not be so lishvach. It's royal agar. Someone might eat it even after the meat has been sitting out for 24 hours. Ooh. Right? Someone might eat it. It's not pogum lagamri, but here I don't care about pogum lagamri. As long as it's nosen tam lagam, as long as it's not going to put a tam meshuvah into the ether, it's not going to answer. Yes?
Is there a difference from what for non kosher food? Or was you find the pot?
Is what? Even non-kosher food, the pot has not been used in 24 hours, minat Torah, it's mutter. Right? There are distinctions. When it comes to basar b'chalav, that's even more kal, because basar and chalav by themselves are taka mutter. It's only in the combination that it's asar. So if it's a keder she'ena bas yoma from basar to chalav, we will see that there are more kulis involved. We'll see that as in our future travels. This idea of Keder Sheina Bas Yoma is very nogea lemais. Probably it's one of the most important shaylas. If you ask a shayla to any posek, one of the basar b'chalav shayla, a shayla about pots, right? Probably his first question is going to be, when did you last use the silverware? When did you last use the pot? That's the first question that he's going to ask. Because this is the first kula, the first thing to consider in terms of perhaps being makim. Right? If something hasn't been used in 24 hours, if the silverware hasn't been used, if the pot hasn't been used in 24 hours, then there might be room to be made. L'mashal. Let's say a person is cooking something in a meat pot. Right? He's cooking a cholent in the meat pot. And he puts a milk with a spoon inside in order to stir the pot. So if both of an ayoman, if both the pot and the spoon have been used for hot dairy and meat within the last 24 hours, so then everything is going to be asr. Right? If you don't have shishim. If you don't have shishim, so then everything is going to be asr. The food's going to be asr, the pot's going to be asr, and the spoon is going to be asr. Everything is going to be asr because you have just a mixture of basar b'chalav that's going to asr everything. Let's say you haven't used the spoon for hot food. Not that you've used it for your cereal and milk. That's cold. That's not significant. But if you haven't used it for hot milk in the last 24 hours, and you stick now this spoon, dairy spoon into the flesh of the pot, what's the din? So think about it. The dairy spoon, because it's an Eina Bas Yoma, is not going to aser the food, nor is it going to aser the pot. Right? It's no sometime left down into the food and into the pot. So certainly it's not going to aser the pot of the food. Tremendous cooler there, right? Just in one fell swoop, we've been matir the food and the pot. How about the spoon? So the Raman Yoredeya, and Simon Sadidalit Sefei quotes a chumrah that the spoon should be kasher. The spoon should be kasher, even if the food that's in the pot is only parf. Right? The spoon should be kashered because the pot itself is a ben yomo. Meaning, if you've stuck an ena ben yomo, you stuck a spoon that's Eino Ben Yama, hasn't been used in the last 24 hours. You stuck that into a pot that's cooking, let's say, meat, right? So now, what do you have here? You have a blia of meat and a blia of chalav in this spoon. Right? So you would say, well, maybe I'll just use the spoon for fleshing. So that's a bad idea. If it looks like your set of milkings, you should kasher it anyway. But even if you'll think, you know, okay, what's the big deal? You know, it's not going to... Let's say it doesn't look like the rest of the spoons. No, you really shouldn't do that anyway, because once you have milk and meat, a blia of milk and meat inside the kli, we say there's a chumr, it looks like a kli shel iser, and therefore you should kash it, because we're afraid that you might use it for hot, and it looks like you're using a kli shel iser, so that kli definitely should be kash it. Okay, but the fact that the spoon was an Eino Ben Yomo, so that's going to be mata the food, it's going to be mata the keder, it'll be mata the keder. Very, very important cooler to keep in mind. Let's say both the spoon and the pot were Eina Ben Yoman. Both Eina Ben Yoman. And you're only cooking macaroni, let's say, in the pot. This happens all the time, right? You're cooking macaroni in a fleshiger pot. and you stick a milchika spoon to stir the macaroni. Stick a milchika fork to stir the macaroni. You make a mistake. Sometimes the silverware looks very similar. So if it's pariv, and both are not b'nei yom, and both the pot and the fork, or both the pot and the spoon have not been used in the last 24 hours pahat, then everything is mutter b'dieved. B'chadchili, you shouldn't do that kind of thing. You should only stick in a fleishika spoon if you're using a fleishika pot, or only a milchika spoon if you're using a milchika pot. But b'dieved, if you stuck it in, and there ain't a b'nei yom, there's nothing to hatzah, because the food is pariv. Macaroni, right, rice, whatever you're cooking, it's pariv. If you're cooking something pariv, then as long as the silverware and the pot are in a b'nei yom, they're not going to ask it at all. Okay. Some of the poskim have a debate when it comes to keder shena bas yoma. I think you sort of made reference to this. One of you made reference to this. What's the din of china kalim? Klei cheres. But you can't kasha. You can't kasha china kalim. So could there be a heter to use a klei cheres that for some reason got acid? Right? For some reason got acid, could use it after 24 hours? L'chadchila, Chazal said, you're not supposed to use a keder shena bas yom, even though it's nosen tam lefgam, l'chadchila, you shouldn't do that. But this is a b'dieved, you can't kasha the kli anyway. So if you can't kasha the kli, is it some dispensation? Maybe Chazal would say that the gzera of eina bas yom, otu bas yom, shouldn't apply. The Pesachim Shuv and Yeridaya, post machlokas apostim about this. Some apostim are willing to be mekel outright. But by kli cheres, just wait 24 hours. Once you wait 24 hours, then you'd be allowed to use the kli. Even without kashering, because it's nosen tam lefgam anyway, so there's no problem. That's one cool of the Pesachim Shuv quotes. And then the Pesachim Shuv quotes the Chacham Tzvi. This, I think, Chaim Gerson mentioned. Chacham Tzvi says that after 12 months, so maybe David Glazer, I don't remember who mentioned this. The Chacham Tzvi says after 12 months, everyone holds that there's no issa to use the kli. 12 months is not talking about 24 hours. 12 months, the Chacham Tzvi says, after 12 months, the bliya inside is just ke'efer ba'alma. It's just disintegrated. It's not there anymore. It's not that it's nosen tam lefgam. It's eino tam klal. There's nothing left. It's kemisha eino, says the Chacham Tzvi. It's like it's kemisha eino, so that definitely you can be mekel for. There's some posts are willing to be mekel by klei cheres after 24 hours outright. That's already called b'dieva, they say. Others are not willing to be mekel that far, but the Chacham Tzvi says after 12 months, you can be mekel because it's ke'efer ba'alma, it's kemishano, there's not, like there's no time. So most poskim assume that you can't be mekel for either one of these shitas by themselves, because there's not enough to be mekel for either one. But you can be mitzarev them lekula. If you have some other kind of svara, you can be mitzarev them lekula. Rav Moshe, in a tshuva in Yeridei, in Chelek Beis, in Simen Mem Vav, he was willing to be mekel for Bali tshuva. Moshe was asked a classical shayla. People want to become Bali tshuva, and they have kelim that they use be'issa. They have a set of china that they use be'issa. What are they supposed to do? So he suggested that there is a Yerushalmi that holds that even though you can't be maksha klei cheres, but if you do hagola, right, we'll have to talk about that a little bit. Hagola means putting things into boiling water. Right, something that's used normally with a liquid, you do hagola, you put it into boiling water, and that kashes it. If it's used on the fire, so then you have to do libun, you put it into the fire. So let's talk about something that was used with a liquid. That's most cases of china. You have the china bowls and china plates and things like that. It's not actually on the fire, but you're putting something hot into that item. Yerushalmi says that by an iser derabanan, you can do hagola three times, and that can work by a kli cheres. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Hagola gimel pa'omen by a kli cheres can be machshir by an iser derabanan. So after Moshe, we can be mitzari that Yerushalmi with the Chacham Tzvi, that if you wait until after 12 months, that's better than just 24 hours. Wait until after 12 months. Since there are some shitas that hold that even after 24 hours, there's no issa to use the kli cheres because that's like a b'dieved. And bechlal, even if we were to say there is an iser, it's only an iser derabanan. According to that Yerushalmi, hagola three times by an iser derabanan will work by a kli cheres. That's what he puts together, these three shitas. The Yerushalmi who says that by a kli cheres, hagola three times is enough by an iser derabanan. Kedera she'ena bas yoma bechlal is only an iser derabanan to begin with, even lechatchila. And After 12 months, the Chacham Tzvi holds, it's kemishayinu, it's nothing. So you can be mitzarif, all this, b'makom balei tshuva, that they could be machshir the China kelim with Hagola three times. That's the cooler Reb Moshe was willing to be makel for. Rabbi Shachter points out, Reb Moshe doesn't seem to be makel for this cooler for non-balei tshuva. Sometimes people put milk and meat on the China dishes and, you know, it gets treif. It sounds like this is only a cooler for balei tshuva. Right? Only a cooler for balei tshuva. But if for someone who's not a balei tshuva, if the dishes got treif, mamish treif. So just to wait 24 hours, then to do Hagolah Gimel to Amim, it's unclear if you can be makel for that. Maybe there are other. Maybe you could put it into a self-cleaning oven, you know, to do a libon. We don't kli cheres, you can do libon on. So some suggest putting it into a self-cleaning oven. I don't know if that's going to ruin the dishes or not ruin the dishes, but it could be Hagolah Gimel to Amim is not going to work if it's mamish treif, because again, that's just Yerushalmi. We have to be mitzari if things look cooler. Reb Moshe was willing to be mitzari if it's for balei tshuva, but maybe he wouldn't be willing to be mitzari if it's for non-balei tshuva. Okay, we'll stop here.